1, the 25th Psalm, it says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, and he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I have put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." Let's pray together tonight. Father, we thank you for the good day that you've blessed us with. And God, we do know that today is a gift from you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us just to realize that and to cherish it. And God, if you give us another day, what a blessing it would be. God, I do pray, Lord, as we look into the psalm tonight, a psalm that David wrote. And God, as we see him ask for things and go through things and surrender his life to you, God, I pray we would follow suit and, Lord, we would do as he did. God, I pray that you would give us the things that we ask for tonight and that you'd bless us according to your will. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we read this, and I've really enjoyed going through the Psalms and just going, you know, psalm by psalm, because there's such not only practicality in it, but also we can just see the heart of David, and we can see how he went through things that we all go through. And you know, I think sometimes we struggle or we have ups and downs, and we kind of get sick of ourselves over it, you know, because of the ups and down nature of our lives. But if we look at the great heroes of the faith, they went through the same exact things. And so the up and down nature of this is not something just that we deal with. It's something that all believers have all dealt with down through the ages. There's good days and bad and all this other. Well, when we look at this psalm tonight, David is seeking three things that we see throughout the scriptures. But it all begins in verse 1, where he says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." And what we see there in verse 1 is the surrender of David. The Christian life, everything about the Christian life begins with surrender. That's what it's all about tonight. When you get saved, guess what you're doing? You are surrendering to the will of God. God wants to save you. You're surrendering to the fact that you're a sinner and that you need help and that you need Him. And it is an absolute surrender. Well, what happens is after we get saved, you know, we're good with that. We understand that. Hey, I got to surrender to be saved. I can't save myself. But then we lose sight of that and think that we can live the Christian life by ourselves. And it's absolutely foolishness to think such a thing. And so it is a continual surrender of our life every single day. The Apostle Paul said that I die daily. And one thought about that is that he laid his life down every day as a surrender to God. The Bible asks us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, that would be willing and lay ourselves down for the cause of Christ and to what He's doing. So it is constant surrender. And as He's looking for that, He's seeking something. And I want you to know, it's not selfishness, okay? It's okay to seek the help of the Lord. It's okay, if heaven wasn't promised, how many of us would have got saved? Amen? If there wasn't something in it for us and it wasn't a good thing for me. Well, David is seeking God's help because it's good for him. And he's surrendering because of the things that he'll receive from God. And so in this psalm, we really see three things that David is wanting God to give him through that surrender. Look in verse number 6. It says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercy and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to the mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." David is seeking first and foremost forgiveness for his sins. Forgiveness for his sins. Do y'all know that after we get saved, that we still should seek forgiveness for our sins? Even though we get saved and God saves us and He in one way forgives us totally and completely, yet we still live in this flesh. You know, our salvation is not in question. But what is in question is our relationship with God and our standing with Him. God, we know, hates sin, and we know what sin does in our life, how it hinders us and it drags us down and it steers us the wrong way. And I want you to know that asking forgiveness for your sins every day is the will of God. And if you don't think that you sin every day, I think that you've misplaced, your mind is misplaced in that regard, because we sin every day. You know, another psalm says this, that David says to forgive him of secret sins that he don't even know he's sinning, or he doesn't even know he's wrong. You see, a lot of our problem is we always think we're right. And so if you always think you're right, you say, "Man, I haven't sinned today. I've had a good day." I want you to know that we sin every single day, and we need forgiveness for those sins. He asks in this passage also to forgive him for the sins of his youth, Now, I mentioned that this morning, I think, maybe in Sunday school. I want you to know, when you get saved, God has forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. And also, you know, if I ask God to forgive me for something I did yesterday, y'all know what God does? If I ask Him from a sincere heart, you know what He does? He forgives me. And He casts those sins as far as the east is from the west, and the Bible says He puts them in the sea of His own forgetfulness. And God forgets those sins. But do you know who doesn't forget those sins? I don't forget those sins. And by the way, guess who else doesn't forget them? Other people don't forget them. And the devil don't forget them. And you know what the devil always will do? He'll say, "Do you remember when? Do you remember when you made a mess of it? Do you remember when you were living ungodly? Do you remember when you was unfaithful to the Lord? Do you remember when you did all this, or you said that, or you went there?" And the reason why the devil brings that up is because the devil wants to keep us beat down. He wants to keep us discouraged. He wants to keep us downcast. You know what the devil would love for every one of us to do tonight? He'd love for us just to quit and go on. And say, "Hey, what's the use? What's the point of being here? Man, what's the point of me keeping going on? I am a terrible person." That's what the devil wants us to think. The Lord doesn't love us. He doesn't forgive us. He can never use us. But we know all those things are lies from the devil. And so even David, as he's asking God to forgive him, I think that we can see the devil always at work and playing on his mind and his heart and saying, "Hey, you're not that good. You're not what God, what God loves, and you're not who He loves." And so, we see that. Look in verse 11. He said, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Now, I do think that we need two things here. Number one, we need an acknowledgement of our sin. If you won't acknowledge that you got problems tonight, you're not going to get no help from God or anybody else. And he said this, mine iniquity is great. And I wonder tonight how many of us think that our iniquity is great. I mean, how many of us think that we are great sinners? The Apostle Paul said this, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He said, in other words, I'm number one. He said, and this is the great Apostle Paul who's done, I mean, wrote 14 books of the New Testament that we read. Man, a great champion of the church and all that. And he said, I am the chiefest of sinners. And I want you to know something tonight. If you don't feel like your iniquity is great and you're the chiefest of sinners, then you have some issues tonight. And I want you to know, too, that we all can, the devil also will lie to us like this. The devil's a liar. And the devil is a confuser. And he loves to confuse and he loves to twist things. You know what else the devil will tell you too? Not only on one hand, he'll tell you you're no good and you're sorry and you need to be all this. And on the other hand, he'll tell you you're not that bad. He tells people what they need to hear at the time. You know how they'll say, people say, man, God gives you what you need when you need it. The devil will give you what he thinks you need when you need that. And man, you might be needing to repent and you might need to be coming back to God. And the devil say, you're not that bad. You better than most everybody you know. I mean, look at your family. Look at your brothers and your sisters and look at your children. Look at your spouse. You're better than all them. They are the ones that need to repent, not you. You're doing good. Look, I firmly believe, you know, we live in a different day and time. Things have changed and you're foolish if you don't notice the changes because they're just different. Used to, somebody was faithful to church if they came to church three times a week. They were faithful. Now you're faithful to church if you come three times a month. And that's just the reality of the situation. I mean, if somebody can come to church every Sunday morning and say, man, I'm at church every Sunday. And here's what the devil will tell them. Man, you're at church every Sunday. You're doing good. No need to repent of your sins. But folks, it don't matter if you come to church every day. The reality is we're still sinners in need of repentance and a right fellowship with God. And so David had that acknowledgement and he also had the humility to say, I am a sinner. And every time that we come in here to come to church and to worship and every day we get up, we need to recognize that our iniquity is great and we need help. Again, it's that surrender. To surrender to God, to say, I am a sinner. I got evil inside of me. I've got sin. The old man is still with us. This flesh is not redeemed. I got to walk and live in it every day. And I need the help of God to do it or else it will not be accomplished. And so we need that help. Say tonight to yourself, my iniquity is great and I need help and God can help us. Then in verse 15, he said this. He said, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. He knows, first off, David knows where help can come from. He said, my eyes are ever before the Lord. And he also, so he knows that help comes from God. And he also knows where problems can come from, which is himself. He said, I am desolate. He said, I am afflicted. He can pluck my feet up out of the net. Hey, do y'all believe tonight that you can step in some traps that the devil set for you and you never see them one time? I'm talking about blindsided, didn't see it, thought you was right, found out you was wrong, thought you was going down the right road, found out you're heading down the wrong road. And so what we need to be like David and say, I'm going to keep my eyes ever on you so you can pluck my feet up. Out of the net. You know, I think sometimes we can be like, you know, our babies at home. You ought to see how stressful it is at our house now. You know what makes it so stressful? We got two babies that are fast now, and they are vacuum cleaners. They just pick it up and put it in their mouth. So we got to make sure no pennies are on the ground. There's not nothing on the ground they can put in their mouth, and they just go in and do it. And I think that's how we are a lot of times when it comes to sin and things like that. And God has to always be behind us saying, no, no, no. Pick them up. Get that out of the way. Do this. Because if it wasn't for that, we would make a mess. We'd pick up the wrong thing, put it in our mouth, and we'd have trouble going. And so David is seeking forgiveness from his sins. And then also, he's seeking deliverance from his enemies. Look in verse 17. He said, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles." Now, we know that David, as we read about his life, we know that he had many enemies. I mean, we think about him out there keeping the sheep, and the lion and the bear came, as Brother Asaph mentioned. We think about when Goliath come on the scene, and he was the enemy of David and the enemy of Israel. And then we think about when Saul turned on him, and now Saul was the enemy of David. And then later on, his own son turns on him, and he's his enemy. And so David lived a life where he constantly had enemies about him and constantly needed to be delivered by God. Now, another trick of the devil tonight is that he might have convinced you that you don't have enemies. And you might be here tonight and think, my goodness, I live in peace and harmony and don't have any enemies. But I want to tell you something tonight. You have some enemies that you need deliverance from. And let me tell you who they are tonight. Number one, the Bible says that we have an adversary. He's an enemy. And that adversary is the devil. The Bible says he's like a lion roaming about seeking who he might devour. And so I want you to know the devil knows who you are, and he hates you, and he wants to destroy you and your family's life. Now, you think, and again, I think sometimes we think, no big deal, or, man, that's what preachers are supposed to say, that the devil's the enemy. And man, we've heard that time and time again. Now, I want you to know tonight that he is a very real and very present enemy in our lives, and we need to guard against him. We need to be aware that he hates us. We need to be aware that he's trying to destroy us, and he's trying to lead our life astray. And the devil has so many tricks and so many tools in his toolbox that it is absolutely endless what he can do to me and you. And the thing about us is this, you know, the devil is not all-knowing. You know that? He doesn't know everything. The devil's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time. Y'all know that too? Aren't we glad of that? Amen. He's not the equal of God. And so, you know what the devil knows about you? He knows about you what he's observed from you and what his demons have observed of you. And he knows where your weakness is. He knows something because he's watched your life. He's seen you mess up. He's seen the things that trip you up. He sees the sins that easily beset us. And those are the things he's going to use to attack us. He doesn't have the same game plan for every one of us. It would be foolish for him to do that, right? You have to have different game plans for different individuals. There's some things the devil can tempt me with, and I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going to work. And you say, oh, Brother Derek, don't say it ain't going to work. Listen. I feel pretty confident tonight to say I'm probably not going to be hooked on drugs. Amen. I don't have that. That doesn't get me. It gets some people, but it don't get me. Guess what? I haven't been tempted with no drugs. He doesn't bother me with that, but he does with other people. And so There are things that ain't going to bother you, and the devil might not even worry with you about that. But whatever it is, hey, some people here tonight, some people here don't get their feelings hurt very easily. Isn't that good? And then some people get them hurt real easy. And you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to use that. He's going to use that. Some people's not very prideful. Some people are. So all this stuff. So you know you, and the devil knows you, and the devil is going to use what, hey, like they used to say, who was it said sometime? By any means necessary. That's how the devil's going to get you. Whatever he has to do, there is no place he won't stoop to. There is nothing he won't pull out. And the devil is coming after you one way or another. He'll get you through your spouse, through your children, through your grandchildren, through your job, through whatever he's got to do. But he's coming for you. And he wants you and your family destroyed. And we need to know that. And what we need to do is to be like David and say, God, deliver me from my enemies. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said this about Peter. He said, Peter, Satan wanted to sift you like wheat. He said, but I prayed for you. And so, man, what an interesting statement, right? He said the devil was after you. He wanted to destroy you. But I prayed for you. I intervened for you. I wonder if he would say something like that about us at times. There would have been a time. And I even think about y'all's lives. You know, hey, we've been living this life, and what if it's a hey about you 20 years ago? The devil wanted to try to get you right here, but I come through for you. And so we need deliverance from God, from our enemy, Satan. He is an enemy of ours. And listen, I think the difficult thing for us tonight, being American Christians, Our biggest worry tonight is just complacency. That's our big deal. We've gotten complacent. Tonight I come told you, you got an enemy called the devil, and nobody said, what? I haven't heard about this, right? And so because of that, y'all say, oh, we're talking about the devil again tonight. We know about him. But don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. I got kids that, you know, my kids, I got a couple that's struggling with their salvation, you know, having peace about it. But here's the problem. I was sharing with them in men's prayer. I said they've been here their whole life. They were born here. They were born here. They've been raised in it. They, you know, and it's all they've ever known. And so it's a challenge. Well, the challenge for us is you've been in it. You've heard it. You know it. And it's not new to you, but what the devil wants us to do is lull us to sleep. And I want to tell you another thing, another trick the devil like to do. He don't have to destroy you. If you just want to go home and don't do nothing, he'll be all right with that probably too. Hey, just go home, don't do nothing. Y'all know anybody used to be in church that's at home doing nothing now? Don't go to church, don't go to Sunday school, don't witness, don't read your Bible, don't pray, they just sit at home, watch TV and go about their life. They'll be fine with that. He don't got to ruin you. He just don't want you doing nothing for Jesus. Amen. And by the way, there's some people that's sitting at home, not drunk, not high, not cheating on their wife, not doing, and they're going to go to hell too because they're not saved. I'm not talking about people that's wicked and evil and done horrible things. I'm talking about just people. You don't got to do nothing to go to hell. You just live your life and die and go to hell. The deal is you got to be saved. And so the devil will do whatever he's got to do, but don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. Another enemy that we have is sin. Sin is not something to play with. Sin is something that will destroy your life. And that leads us to our last enemy, which is ourself. Amen. Sin and self go hand in hand. You know what sin? You know why we like sin? Because it's satisfying to our flesh. It makes my flesh feel good. Whatever sin is. The Bible said that that Moses chose rather to suffer with God's people than to enjoy sin for a season. Sin is enjoyable to the flesh. If sin was not enjoyable to the flesh, nobody would have a sin problem tonight. Amen? If sin was like stubbing your toe on the bed corner, nobody would sin. But unfortunately, sin is satisfying to our flesh. I was telling somebody the other day about, if you want to stay mad at somebody, it don't do you no good, but it just makes you feel better to be mad about it. You can't change it, but I feel good that I'm mad about it. And there's just, sin is wickedness, but it makes us feel good. But I want to tell you something that makes you feel good temporarily. And sin is a destroyer. It will absolutely destroy your life. It brings about nothing but heartache and ruin and disaster in our lives. And we need to guard against it every step of the way. And you need to, and that leads us to the next thing that David was looking for in our passage. He was looking for God's help and his teaching. Look at what it said in verse 4. He said, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." He was looking for God's help. So tonight, if you don't know what sin is, you know what you need to do? You need to find out what sin is. And you need to find out God's help and God's teaching. God help us. You know, if only those who want to learn can learn. Y'all know that? Only people that want to learn can learn. And if you want to sit there and not learn, then that's what you'll do. If you don't, you're not going to just stumble upon and accidentally learn and know God's ways. You got to be seeking for it. Folks, we're talking about the highest thing that there is, talking about God's ways. I mean, to live and to walk in God's ways and His paths. It's what people have been searching for since the beginning of mankind. And you think you're going to accidentally get there and find it out? So you got to seek it out. And by the way, another thing is this. If you think you already know everything, then you can't learn nothing either. You ever met anybody that knew everything? My wife would tell you, yes, she has. Amen. Me. Because I think I know a lot all the time. But when you think you know everything, it's really hard to learn anything. If you think you already got all the answers and you already know all the questions and you know all that, David said, "God, teach me your ways." And we could be sitting here tonight. I had somebody told me one time they didn't go to church. You know what they told me? They said, "I already know everything about God." That's what they said. They said, "I already know everything about the Bible. I don't need to go to church here no more. But I know what's right and wrong and what good and bad, and I don't need to go." If they had any sense, they'd know they was wrong in the first place. Amen. If they wasn't where they ought to be. But you can't help people like that. And God can't help nobody like that. And so we can't already know everything. He said, "To show me thy ways and teach me thy paths." God's ways lead to success. And by the way, he said there, "Show me thy ways and teach me thy paths." This is something that we got to see. And it's something that you got to learn. It's something you got to learn. It's something that you learn from doing it time and time again. You know, Caden was with somebody the other day and went with somebody somewhere, and they were going to bring him home, you know. And I can't remember where they were coming from, but he told him, I know how to get to my house, you know. And they had texted my wife. They said, "Caden said he knows how to get there. Does he know?" And Laura said, "Yeah, I think he could probably do it." Well, he got him home, you know. He knew how to get home. But you know how he knew how to get home? Because he had been on the ways and he had been on the road and he could remember where to turn. He could remember where he was at and all those different things. Well, it's the same way with God's ways. You got to learn them. When you're on the road for the very first time, me and Laura went Saturday. We went to Clinton, Louisiana, played Little League football, and we come home, you know, the same way. We went home and come home the same way. And when we was coming back, there was a fence on the left side of the road. It was a very unique looking fence. And I said, "Look at that fence." And she said, "I didn't see that on the way over here," you know. And I didn't either. But you got to be down these roads more than one time. This is an experience deal. Walking with God is not something that happens in the blink of an eye. It's not something that happens in a day. is something that happens over a lifetime of being with Him. And let me tell you what David and other people, other heroes of the faith, us that are here tonight that have been on this road a while, we get down a road with God, you know what we can say at times? I've been here before. And I know what happens. I was the other day during revival, Brother Walter Pierce was here. Y'all know Brother Walter. He's a preacher, been pastoring forever, and one of them guys I love to talk to because I like people that's been on the road a long time, you know, and been with God a long time. And we were talking. I said, "Man, Brother Walter," I said, "we set all kind of attendance records in August. It was an awesome month." I said, "And then we lost about 10 people in September." He said, "Oh, that's how it happens every time, man." You know, and he started telling me about it. But guess what? He's been down the road before. He's seen it. He knows it. He knows how things happen. And when you get down the road with God, it's something that must be learned. It's something that must be learned. So not only do we got to learn God's word, but listen to me. It's good to know God's word, but then God's going to make you live God's word. It's good. You know that guy who told me he already knew everything? Well, y'all know a lot too. I know I was supposed to forgive people. Guess what I got to do though? I got to really forgive people. I know that I got an enemy, but guess what I got to do? I got to pray for deliverance over that enemy. I understand that sin will destroy my life, and I got to kill sin in my life. So knowing it's one thing, and doing it's another. The Bible said, "Let's pray that we not be hearers of the word only, but doers also." I think 2,000 years ago, they knew that some people could hear it but not do it. And so we've got to learn and live the word of God. And His ways, God's ways, are ways of righteousness and of faith and love and mercy. And His ways are at times difficult, okay? Nobody ever wants to paint a picture that you get on the road with God and everything's going to be easy and wonderful. We were looking this morning in Sunday school about the church at Thessalonica and these Thessalonians and how they were a great church. I mean, you know, if you read the New Testament, some churches ain't doing good and some churches are doing good. Well, the church at Thessalonica was doing good. But guess what he said about the church at Thessalonica? He said, "Man, you've been patient and faithful during these persecutions and these tribulations." So they're doing good. They're getting commended by Paul and they experience some persecution and tribulation. Okay? So when something bad happens or something goes wrong or something don't go the way you think, I don't want you to think that it's something out of the ordinary. God's ways at times are difficult ways. It's not a bed of roses all the time. But God gets us through it. Amen. And let me ask you this tonight as we close. We're living this life. And here we are, living in an Oak Grove in Washington Parish, Louisiana. Nobody knows we're here. I mean, nobody knows. Nobody in the world knows. Okay? The whole world is oblivious to the fact that we're here. They don't know what you got going on. They don't know your name. They don't know about your job. They don't know nothing about this place. What could be better and more exciting and more fulfilling than living out the ways of God? What could be better? I mean, what could be better than experiencing God in real and intimate ways in our life? It gives people like us a chance to do things that are eternal and supernatural and meaningful and purposeful, wherein otherwise we wouldn't have nothing else going on. The Apostle Paul said that. He said, "If we have hope in this life only, we're of all men most miserable." And I want you to know something. The only thing you got to look forward to, and the only thing you're experiencing, is your life here in Washington Parish. I could see how you'd be miserable, amen. But we've got something bigger to look for. Everything that we do, it's about Him. And it's about God. And it matters. And it's important. And it's important because of Him, amen. So seek the things David sought out. Surrender to Him. Seek forgiveness of your sins. Seek deliverance from your enemies. Seek Him to teach you His ways. And I promise you, it'll be an exciting, exciting ride.